So if anybody, I know it's been a few weeks since we've been together, but if you were not here on the 16th when we did our little brunch and had our spiritual gifts discussion, it would still be great to get your spiritual gifts so that we can have those from a shepherding standpoint. And so I do have what I gave everybody. You can, it's just a little sheet for your name. And you can list your top three spiritual gifts if you took the inventory and just give those back to me. Because one, if you've done it before, gifts may have changed. So we update that. We'll put that into Shelby, which is our database to keep track of everybody. And so I'll leave these over here. And if you could just take a minute and fill one of them out, leave it for me. Nobody else will see it. It's not a recruiting tool, I promise. So if you say you have the gift of teaching children, we're not going to necessarily throw you into teaching children unless you just feel called to go teach children. So I promise that. But it does help us from a shepherding standpoint just to help us, one, encourage you all. It helps us as shepherds, as elders, to know that, okay, well, maybe if you're not engaged or involved, well, what are your gifts? Let's talk about that and let's figure out how you could get into serving. And as if you haven't been to the service already with Pastor Reeder, he talked about some ways in which to do that this morning with our stewardship. So we are in Jesus's I Am statement. So if you want to turn to John chapter 11, we are in our fifth I Am statement, our sixth time meeting. We'll have two more of these. And so we'll read a portion of John chapter 11. And so our question that I have started each one of these with is who did Jesus say he was? It's been 3 weeks, so just a little bit of a review as we think about Jesus's I Am statements. They're really word pictures, they're images that Jesus used to tell us who he was. And so far we've looked at Jesus as the bread of life in John chapter 6. He's the only one who can satisfy spiritual hunger. We've looked at Jesus as the light of the world in John 8. He's in this sense the one who leads us out of darkness into light. We looked at Jesus in chapter 10, Jesus as the door of the sheep. So in the context of that Good Shepherd narrative, he is the way in and out. He's the access into the sheepfold, and that is to the Father. And he's also the Good Shepherd King we looked at a few weeks ago. He's the Good Shepherd King who came to deliver his people. And so this morning we're going to look at Jesus makes this bold statement about being the resurrection and the life. And if you remember this Greek structure, when he uses it, this in the Greek ego eimi, or this I am structure, when Jesus uses that, its emphasis is on the pronoun I myself am, in the case this morning, the resurrection and the life. And so that's important for us to understand, because all these statements, as you know, if you're using this evangelistically, John's gospel, each of these I am statements are a great way, a great place to camp on, even evangelistically, who did Jesus say he was? And so it begs the question for anybody, for us, and for anyone we encounter, is what are we going to do with Jesus? And people have to have an answer for that. What are you going to do with Jesus? And so as you think about these I am statements, well, Jesus made this bold statement that he's the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? What does that mean for us? What does that mean for someone else who we're sharing our faith with? Because at the end of the day, they're divine statements that Jesus is professing to the world who he is. As C.S. Lewis said, Jesus Christ was either a liar, a lunatic, or he was indeed who he said he was. That's Lord. And at the end of the day, that's what we have to come to terms with. So in John chapter 11, we have an interaction here with really Martha and Mary, as I'm getting all tied up here. over their brother Lazarus. And the question that we're dealing with is death. And really, if you think about our culture today, isn't or shouldn't be death be a question that we all ponder and think about? The question we ask, when I die, is that the end? Or is there something else? If you look at, you can make note of this, but if you go to Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 14, Job in his interaction makes this statement. He says, "For there is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its shoots will not cease. Though its root grow old in the earth, and its stump die in the soil, yet at the scent of water it will bud and put out branches like a young plant. But a man dies and is laid low. Man breathes his last, and where is he? His waters fail from a lake, and a river wastes away and dries up. So a man lies down and rises not again. Till the heavens are no more, he will not wake or be roused out of his sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in Sheol, that you would conceal me until your wrath be past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me." And then he makes this question, which is a rhetorical question from Job. "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my service I would wait till my renewal or relief should come." And that's from Job himself. So he ponders this same question. And if a man dies, shall he live again? And the context of our passage is centered around death. And the question or the statement at the end of the day is, guess what? We all have the same mortality rate. It's 100% at the end of the day. And only the Lord knows the days that we have and the hours that we have. So this comes, John chapter 11, in the climax, really, of Jesus' public ministry, because right after this, we're going to see His anointing, and then we're going to see Him come into Jerusalem. But we see in the raising of Lazarus that Jesus makes this statement that He is the resurrection and the life. So, just for thought before we read it, the passage. So how does Jesus making this statement? Obviously, He's hopefully giving hope to Martha and Mary and all the others that are around her with family and friends. But how does this offer us hope? How is physical death a transition to, in a sense, to a better life? So, It's not a hard question. So have you thought about it? How does Jesus making this statement, how does it give you hope? What? We're not alone. That we will be resurrected like He was. Someone over here. If what? Yeah. Death's not the end. Yeah. And you know, I don't know about you, but I'm almost 55, and it seems like the days and the weeks and the months come quicker and quicker, and so this becomes more and more of a question for me to ponder. But it's also something that, in truth, it scares me at times. To think about this, to leave my family behind. You know, my kids, my grandkids. Amy?
Well, it's not only about what happens to us, but when you've lost somebody.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's Mary and Martha in the interaction. So, yeah. So let's read. We'll pick up. So just a little context. At the start of the chapter, I'm going to pick up in verse 17. But Jesus is, and we'll look at a few of these verses, but He finds out that Lazarus, a friend, is ill, and He makes a bold statement in verse 4 that it does not lead to death. He loves, obviously, Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and He's going to go to Judea, but He also waits and stays 2 days longer. before he heads out of town to go. So picking up in verse 17, after he finds out that Lazarus has died and he has an interaction with the disciples in the sense of falling asleep as he makes the statement, and they're confused about, well, okay, he'll be okay, he'll wake up. They don't understand. So in verse 17, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. Skipping down to verse 33, he has the same interaction with Mary as she comes to meet him on the road. And verse 33, when Jesus saw her, Mary, weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him.